This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. This week, President Bush delivered a long-awaited speech on his Iraq policy. The plans he announced for what he called a surge of more than 20,000 troops were greeted with some harsh criticism in Congress. Secretary of State Rice and the new Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, fielded some difficult, sometimes even heated questions and testimony before congressional committees. And also this week, the new Democratic Congress began its work on the 100 Hours agenda. Dan Schur is away, so we're joined by our friend and NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams. Juan, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Scott.
And the president's speech outlined a new strategy. He said, Americans shouldn't expect the kind of victory where a surrender document signed aboard an aircraft carrier. This is 3 years after he appeared on a carrier under the banner that said mission accomplished. He said there'll be Iraqi and U.S. losses, but that increasing forces is necessary to stabilize Baghdad. He's tried to rally the country before and often succeeded. How persuasive was he this time in your estimate?
Well, in my estimation, he didn't make any new argument that gained traction in the morning papers or on any of the news coverage. And if you look at a CBS News poll that was taken immediately after the speech, what you see is that 50% of those who listen disapprove of the speech's proposals. And only a third of those who, in fact, in the country watched the speech, which is an indication people didn't even want to pay attention. I think minds were made up. But if you look at the specific proposal, Scott, for example, to send more troops, those who watched, 33% said they could support it, as opposed to 31% of those who didn't watch. So not really any big difference. On the question of whether or not the U.S. should invest more money in a jobs program in Iraq, again, a difference. Those who watched, 48% said, okay, we'll support that, as opposed to 33% of those who didn't watch. The key here, though, is most people didn't think that success was likely even after watching the speech. And the president's ability to make a decision. Here you find that 68% of Americans are uneasy, the same as they were before. So the president may have admitted that he made some mistakes, but overall now the trust level in him is very low as we go forward in Iraq.
What did you notice about congressional reaction?
Well, what I noticed was they seem emboldened now. They seem much more willing to take on the president. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we saw that Secretary Rice got roughed up pretty badly by the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. But the whole question of, is this an open-ended commitment? What are the benchmarks as we move forward? Why aren't there benchmarks? All of that coming now from Congress in a way, both Republican and Democrat, in a way that we hadn't seen before. Lots of Vietnam analogies now being used and bandied about in a way that I think people felt mm-hmm. inhibited about using previously.
Wasn't just Chuck Hagel, senator from Nebraska. I'm talking about the Republicans now. It was George Voinovich, senator from Ohio, Sam Brownback, senator from Kansas, who actually issued a statement from Baghdad.
Yeah, and what he said from Baghdad was a military solution is not called for here. We need a political solution. I think it was Chuck Hagel who said this is Alice in Wonderland, worst foreign policy blunder again since Vietnam. Mm-hmm. We come back to that. There is a sense that the Republicans are trying to hold in terms of loyalty to their commander-in-chief, but that, in fact, what you have below the surface is great anxiety about what he's doing to the party and the party's potential come 2008.
At the same time, any chance that the Democrats in Congress will try to use the power of the purse to block the surge in troops?
I don't think so at the moment. I think what you have is the Democrats saying we'll, for the moment, look at possibly capping the number of troops that could be added, mm-hmm. And then looking at questions about whether or not we could look at funding down the road and funding for other items that would support the war. But they have to be careful, given that they have been painted as weak on military issues, especially since the arguments mm-hmm. over Vietnam. They want to avoid that pitfall.
If the Democratic Congress officially started work, the first 100-hour agenda that had been laid out by Speaker Pelosi, any accomplishments so far?
Well, the big one was minimum wage, and then, of course, they did something on stem cell in the House. They've also implemented some of the 9/11 commission recommendations and done some work on prescription drugs. So they're moving forward on what is a very populist agenda and are able to say they did get something done in the first 100 hours. Not everything that they wanted, but clearly most of their agenda.
Are they a combination of having the votes and obviously now being ascendant in some public approval ratings? Are Democrats in a position to begin to kind of control the national policy agenda now?
Well, you know, the big item obviously remains Iraq. And when it comes to that, they can have hearings, they can have oversights, they can request documents in a way that the Republican-led House and Senate were not doing. And so in that sense, then they dictate what the media coverage is to a large extent, and that shapes the agenda. On the domestic side also, this kind of motion on things like college payments and even looking back at what happened with Katrina, does allow them to dictate the agenda to somewhat, although the president remains the holder of the bully pulpit.
Finally, Cal Ripken Jr., Tony Gwynn voted overwhelmingly into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Mark McGwire didn't even come close. Allegations of steroid use seems to be the problem. What do you make of that?
Sports writers said, you know, if you cheat, if you're using illegal substances to gain an advantage, you're not qualified for the Hall of Fame. I don't see how you can even argue it. Now, you know, Tony Gwynn said he thinks that McGwire should have been admitted to the Hall of Fame based on what he did on the field. But what he did based on the field was, again, based on a lie, Scott. To me, you know, sports is about virtue and idealism, and you want to go out there and be inspired. How are you going to be inspired by some guy that's blowing up on steroids?
Juan, thanks. You'll find the cup by the door on your way out.
Thank you, babe.
NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams.